I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal, too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode of BGN Radio is brought to you by Clip It, the hottest app that is out there. Watch TV, make clips, and share. For more information, check them out at clipit.tv or check them on Twitter at clipit.tv.
Tip Squad, next level, BGN Radio, let's go. Welcome to the next level, the creme de la creme, Sharon Davenport, Barrett Brooks, link with BGN. Next level boys breaking down the game of the podcast out, but they not the same. TD the fly one, peep the suits and the wingtips, honest opinions from the Gibsons to the Winces. I'm left-handed, Barrett Brooks, got my blind side. Super Bowl winner, see the game from a champ size. Route concepts down, the techniques in the trenches. You wanna learn football? And tune in and listen, BGN Radio, next level podcast. You thinking about discussing the Eagles? Better stop that. From senior bowl workouts to the draft, down to training camp, breakdowns of all 22. They the best at that. Special insights, giving sight to the blind. So sit down, push play, and when they done, rewind. Next level.
Another Tuesday, so you know what time it is. It's time to go to that room. We're going to take you to the next level. We're going to take you to the up with Jesus. Now, it's the Next Level Podcast. I'm Teron Davenport here with Barrett Brooks, coming off an Eagles loss, tough loss. It's one that we predicted. It's mentor versus teacher, teacher versus pupil, however way you want to put it, and it's a loss. And it's a game they actually – could have won. So we're going to look at that real quick. We're going to look at some of the individual performances that stood out and get you ready for this Giants game. So just starting things off, it was another week where you did not see the running game happen. 13
runs.
Runs.
As opposed to 56 passes.
You had a guy who averaged 4.8 yards per carry. Going into the second half, averaged 5 yards per carry and got 2 or 3 carries in the second half? What's the deal?
It's unbelievable. You know, we had 8 carries the first half. And, you know, it irritates me because – not because we didn't run the ball, but I predicted it was going to happen just like this. I told them, in order for the Eagles to win, they got to go out there with their 11 personnel and put their best athletes on the field. I understood that. Mm-hmm. You're going to put your best athletes out there. You're going to have Alshon out there. You're going to have Smith out there, Aguilar. Then you're going to have Zach Ertz and Sproles. That's what I felt was the only way they can win a game is put those guys on the field. I knew it wasn't going to be LeGarrette Blount. I knew that they're going to have to go out there and spread them out. Yeah. That way you could have your tackles one-on-one against, you know, Houston and Ford. That's a better matchup. And we ran the rock on them successfully. Now everybody's talking about, oh, a successful run is 3 yards.
Mm-hmm.
3 yards. That's all you need. So now you're dealing in second and seven as opposed to throwing it incomplete in a second and 10.
Or getting sacked in a second and 37.
15. Right, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'm like, come on, please, come on now. And then they had the nerve to say in the interviews, well, the game dictated that we should have we passed the ball. No. It was tied going into the fourth quarter. We were down by 3 at the most.
That's why I did an article on this, man. I said it's time to stop using flow of the game as an excuse for not running the football.
And then is he answering to somebody? No, he's the head coach. He didn't answer anybody.
Exactly. And it's just like, okay, I understand to an extent the Cincinnati game, you know, where they were getting the wings blown off the helmet. They were getting beat so bad. But in this game, you're on the road at Arrowhead Stadium, the loudest stadium in the NFL.
Right. Did you chip off what it said? In the home of the Chiefs.
I asked one of the because I heard him do that before when I was at Arrowhead for a 49ers and Chiefs game. And I asked one of the guys, that's tricked up, man. You know, that's a disrespect if I would like to stay. But this is a sports podcast. It's not a political one, so we're going to keep focused on the task at hand. And I tell you, man, just when it comes to running the football, it's a process. It's something that, you know, we talked about that on the ride over here. It's something you have to understand. You have to continue to hit it. One of the things I love, and I said this about LT, you know, he and Marty Schottenheimer, they would go over it over and over again. And they say, hey, listen, you know what? We got to keep on going with it. Keep going with
exactly.
it because it's going to hit. What did Andy Reid do? And Andy Reid, we're talking about, folks. Andy Reid.
I got to throw the ball more than any coach in the league.
First half, Kareem Hunt, 1.8 yards per carry. First two carries, he had 2 carries in the second half, 1 yard each. Then he had a carry for a negative yard, and they go back to the run still, and what happens?
Breaks it for 60. Come on, man.
You have to keep hitting it. And that's something that they didn't do. And, I mean, on top of that, you talked last week about as an offensive lineman, you like to be the attacker, not the attackee, right?
I mean, you're going to hit somebody in the mouth as opposed to getting hit in the mouth.
And then on top of that, you got a guy that's 245, 250 pounds. You could keep hammering at it. Nobody wants to run into
265.
That. 265. Hey, look, I give him the benefit of the doubt. I was hoping, you know, maybe we could, you know, he's trying to make that contract, you know, to stay under the clause, but the weight clause. But, I mean, you keep hammering that big guy. Those 1 yard runs, 3 yard runs turn into 10 and 15 yard runs. You have to stick to it. But they just completely got away from it. And so it tells me one of two things. They're either abandoning the run too quick or they're not even intending on running the football.
That's not their intent. You know, I mean, and it's almost like this. Don't tell me you're going to run the rock because I know you're not going to run the rock anymore. Don't tell me that. I'd rather you lie for me than lie to me. Don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Don't say you're going to do it because you're not going to do it. The teams that run the ball have the most success. If we run the ball, it keeps the offense on time. The biggest thing it does, takes time off the clock. Second biggest thing it does, it keeps the ball out of the opposing quarterback's hands. Now, we talk about Smith having a great year at this point, even though it's only, you know, 2 games into it, as a manager of the game. Well, whatever you want to call it, it's working for Andy Reid.
Uh-huh.
He's got Webb. He's got Tyreek Hill. He understands that he has speed there. He has Kareem Hunt. He understands he has a guy that can run the rock there. He understands he has Kelsey. He's going to hit him on the crossing routes and things of that nature. But what does he do? He keeps running the ball because he understands when you run the ball, takes time off the clock, keeps it out of other quarterbacks' hands, gives them the ability to throw the play action with that. You know, and we don't have it. I told people last week, we don't run play action to try to fool linebackers or bring them up and think we're running the ball. It's our max protection. I get it. I understand it. That's what we did the same thing in the West Coast offense.
Mm.
You know, I mean, I had John Gruden was my offensive coordinator my first couple years in the league. That's what we use. We use that as our means. We call it waggle protection. Waggle protection is we'll reduce the front side like a slide gap protection. On the backside, we pull that backside guard, lead him out there. It gives your quarterback another launching point as opposed to being right there in the middle of all that pass rush. Pull him out there a little bit, have a guard escort him out there, have that guard, you know, be like a scan guy that scans whatever it is. Front mm-hmm. side, you got him stuck on the line of scrimmage. It's just a better protection. But don't say you're going to run the rock like you're going to do it. You're not running the rock.
There's no
and it's
going to
hurt us. You're
going to
kill our quarterback, man.
Exactly. And that's the thing, to have 56 dropbacks and to continuously have this guy running for his life. And it's something that – because I asked Peterson after the Redskins game about just Carson's ability to excel in that QB script. This is one thing that this kid could do. He could extend plays. And this year he's learning to do that with his eyes down the field. So that's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. And when I asked Peterson about them trying to take advantage of that, he said, well, it's not ideal to have your quarterback back there running for your life. Well, let me tell you something. If you got Isaac Seumalo getting – look, if there was a violation button or a hotline or something, they needed to call it because he was getting violated. Chris Jones was killing him.
In fact, they started taking turns. Ooh, it's my turn to rush him next. It's my turn to rush him next.
And D4 got the sack. Yeah. So they gave up six sacks. Seumalo gave up four of them.
Yep.
So if you know that's happening, why are you continuously dropping your quarterback back?
And this is the thing now. Teams are going to game plan that now because they started game plan. The reason D Ford got that sack, Andy Reid knew they were going to run a slide protection. In mm-hmm. that slide protection, he understands that they got the wheel linebacker and the defensive end. The guard and the tackle have that blocking team. So what they did was they rushed the defensive end up the field and loop D Ford around, knowing he would be one-on-one against Seumalo. That's something that was game planned that they're going to use. Don't act like Olivia Vernon or all those guys are going to be doing the same thing, trying to isolate him.
And I tell you one thing, Vernon is one of the better guys at looping inside and making plays.
Yeah.
So that could definitely be a problem. So we'll kind of put a bow around the Chiefs game. I mean, obviously, it was a game, like we said, it was going to be hard to win. They had it within their grasp. Despite the imbalance on offense, they were 7 points. They were within 7 points. And on top of that, they lost their starting safety. They lost their
reserve corner.
Who was basically a starter because Jalen Watkins started the game. Both hamstring injuries. We'll see what happens. I don't think they're going to play this week. But in that absence, a guy that I've talked about for a while now stepped in and he played outstanding football, Rasul Douglas.
Yes, he did. You know, talk about a guy that went out there and the game was not too big for him. The stage was not too big. He went out there smiling, ready to play. He understood what he had against him. He understood he stayed within the framework of the defense. And that's a lot to be said, understanding that you're a young rookie going in there. And I'm glad they gave him a chance to run some reps in practice so we knew what was going on in this game.
Yeah, and, you know, in practice, I forget which one, but he had two interceptions in one of the practices. And he's one of those players, confidence is huge. He's never going to lose his confidence, but just like anyone, when you start doing something really well, you're going to get even more confident. And just going out there, the first snap that he saw was against – he was out there one-on-one, Tyreek Hill. No help over top. They ran the hitch route. He came up and tackled him. And then the play that really stood out more than any other play to me was that third down, the pass breakup. And Rasul Douglas is someone who always say, okay, yeah, you know what? You keep him on the outside. That's he can only play on the outside. He's not that guy to have the, you know, be able to handle the two-way go that slot receiver. Well, Albert Wilson was in the slot. And it was third and four. He ran a shallow cross, and he rode the receiver's hip, did a really good job.
Not
this hand, not getting that pass interference, and then he knocked the ball down. Got enough on it to change its course. And on top of that, he talked to the Chiefs sideline afterwards. I loved it. I like my corners to be that way, you know. But that was an outstanding play. He also had a good open field tackle, Travis Kelce. He stopped him on one of the tight end screens. I think he's legit ready to go. I'm not saying Pro Bowl or shut down.
He has no choice but to be ready to go.
Has no choice. And you know, before we started the podcast, they asked if we were ready. We said we stay ready so you never have to get ready. And that's exactly what happened with Rasul this past week.
Yeah, so you think at this point they're going to have Corey Graham at safety?
Mm-hmm.
I think he fitted in well. He went out there. You didn't know that he was in the game, and that's kind of good that you didn't know he was in the game, because usually when you see safety here, they're usually messing up. They're like the offensive linemen in the league.
One bad play.
Oh, what did it? The angle?
Yeah.
On that's Kareem the Hunt. One.
Well, yeah, caught him flat-footed. And right. Yeah.
It popped over so quick. But yeah. That wasn't his fault, actually.
You know, because didn't Barnett get blown up? Was it?
No, it wasn't that. What it was, they ran. They call it Joker because it's to the open side. They ran a power play. They pulled that guard around. So what happened? That backside backer, which was Jordan Hicks at the time, he read the play wrong.
Oh, okay.
So they set this play up. See, people don't understand. You have to stay 3 point plays ahead.
Right.
That's why Andy ran kept running the ball. He ran a ball knowing that he was going to have this play, set this play up. So what they did, they ran a ball, the jet sweep. So they had Hill run a jet sweep, handed it to him. Eagles stopped it.
You're talking about the Kareem Hunt touchdown, right?
Yeah. I'm setting the stage, everyone.
Yeah, no, I wanted to make sure because they did something like that on the shuffle pass to Kelce.
The same thing.
Yeah, and that's thing. where I remember seeing Hicks out of position.
That's a setup that Kareem Hunt set that play up.
Got you.
The Kareem Hunt set that play up. So Andy Reid's thinking three plays ahead. So what they do, they ran a jet sweep to Hill.
Mm-hmm.
He runs by Hill, same action, pull the guard, same action. They stopped, Eagle stopped it. They ran a play again. Didn't give it to anybody. Threw a little pass play, they stopped it. Then they turn right back around, same action. Hill goes in motion like he's going to run a jet sweep. Everybody's looking at him. But when they're looking at him, he don't hand the ball off. That pulling guard's going around. Jordan Hicks' eyes are in the backfield. Never look in the backfield. You got to look at your reads.
Yeah,
look at
your keys.
Your front side, they deuce block the front side. They double team the front side or wash everybody down on this side. The backside guard pulls. Pull, replace. You know if he's going somewhere, the offensive line, we don't have time to be playing around and being all nifty and swifty. We can't be going out there and giving false reads. Wherever we go, the ball is going. When he pulled, he should have got his hip pocket scraped over and he'd have met Kareem Hunt in the hole. But instead, he ran and played the boot or ran outside and was sitting right there in no man's land.
And that's why you saw him over. Yeah, yeah. Now it makes sense. Pulling. Okay.
He didn't follow his reads. If he'd have followed that guard, followed his reads, it's a triangle. It's the two guards to the running back.
Mm-hmm.
So that triangle. You see the triangle go like this? That means you need to go this way. If it goes that way, if it goes like this, you got to be going towards and following this guard. Because this guard not going to pull for nothing. And if he does pull for something, that's still a plus because you know that's your read.
Right.
And your coach ain't going to yell at you because the coach, I saw the guard pull, so I got to follow that guard. If he'd have been in that, he'd been sitting right there in the hole because the front side tight end got blocked. And that's why he bumped his head on the goalpost. He missed out on that read.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing happened with the Kelce touchdown. And the Kelce touchdown, same thing.
The misdirection.
Tyreek Hill go in motion. Backside guard pull. They do some front end. He looks at it again, and he makes two stutter steps to the left. Those two stutter steps put him behind it.
Yep.
And Kelce goes up underneath, and they shovel pass to him. Now he's a day late and a dollar short, and they end up running that. And then Kelce said, I just want it. He was a man that said, I want it more than you want it.
Yes.
I'm going to score right now. I don't care who you got there. I'm going to jump over somebody. I'm going to fly in the air. I'm going to make this happen. And that's what happened. You got to follow your keys. You can't look what's going on in the back. That misdirection, all that stuff right there, don't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
The only people that can't misdirection is the O-line. Wherever they go, the ball is going. Period, point blank. That ball is following wherever that line is going to. And, you know, it's tough, man. It's just like if when you're playing DB. You cannot look
you
at.
You read the hip.
You know, you got to look at what's in front of you going on.
Yeah.
That's going to lead you where the play is.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's funny that you say that because I remember seeing Hicks take those steps, and you could see him kind of like say, oh, you know what I mean? And now it makes sense. I didn't
see
that.
But see, those are the same run actions. Those are the same action. Same exact plays. They're blocked the same exact way. They're blocked the same. Wherever that pulling guard was going, That's where he should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Blocking the same exact way, and that's what Andy Reid knew that. That play down there set this play up right here. Running the rock all those times in the first half, going into the second half, running the rock again, and then when you ran that jet sweep, it opened up that play because now everybody's looking, what's going on? Where's Tyreek Hill at?
Yeah, yep.
And here come Kareem Hunt. All right, you guys forgot about Kareem Hunt. You forgot about he can run. You forgot all about that. And yeah. What does he do? Boom.
And, that's one of the things, because I talked to them. I talked to McLeod. I talked to Jenkins. I actually talked to Jordan Hicks. And BG, I talked to all of those guys about the misdirection and how they use Hill so much. You know, BG likes to crash down. So sometimes his assignment is to contain. So you have that speed coming. All right, what do I do? You know what I mean? Yep. And then the thing that Jordan Hicks said, and it's so funny thinking back on this when I talked to him, he said to do exactly what you said he didn't. Right. And you cannot have those breakdowns.
You can't look in the backfield because that's going to lead you wrong.
Yeah.
Everybody can be running around, do whatever they're going to do, but the offensive line will lead you right to where the play is. Even the pass plays, you look at the offensive line. Once you see them pop up, you got to get your butt back.
Mm-hmm.
When you see them hunkering down and going full firing out, you step up when they step up. If they step back, you step back. That's what you do as a linebacker. When you see that offensive line, once they step towards you, you step it towards them. When you see them back up, that's when you back up.
Right.
We can't do that as an offensive lineman. We can't hide that stuff because we got to get there. Because them guys on the other side of the ball, they trying to get you. They coming at all fours. You know, they trying to pop you in the face.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're told, put your face in his head, rip, and get vertical. Let's go. We going up the field.
Yeah, it goes back to that being the one who attacks.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So,
what can I say?
It's next level.
Next level. Next level. And that's just something that we'll see what happens this week. I know the Giants, they like to work this play-action passing game. That's something that, they actually – Evan Engram scored on one of those. Yep. Outstanding tight end, by the way. So
it was wide open.
He was wide open.
And I like the way he played it just right because he went down like he was going to block and just took off.
Leaked right through. Yep. And they had a nice play action pass to him earlier in the game, got him wide open. So that's something to watch. Once again, it's going to be misdirection. Obviously, not the same explosiveness as Tyreek Hill has, but still, Evan Engram, a 4-4 guy at the tight end position, can do some damage. So the linebacker's going to have to really key in on it. But let's flip it to the other side and talk about this offensive line. And 16 quarterback hits they allowed. This is a week where I think the Eagles front can really eat. I personally wouldn't even blitz. I mean, I would do some stunts up front because they don't seem to be able to handle that. But I think this could be a 6-sack week for the guys up front.
There is no reason why they shouldn't have, at the very least, 6 to 7 sacks this game. I'm looking at the roster. And there's no way. If you really look at their offensive line.
You got a right tackle playing
Eric
left
Flowers.
Tackle.
Eric Flowers out of Florida. I think he went to Florida.
Miami.
Yeah. From Miami. Number one draft pick. I could pass rush against him and beat him. I could.
It was bad.
I could beat him. Justin Pugh out of Syracuse. He's been consistent. He's probably the most consistent guy they have right now. Not to say he's any good. He's going to be playing tackle, I think, because he came and played tackle a little bit this game, didn't he?
This past one, yes. Yeah.
Justin Pugh, he ain't really hitting on it. He couldn't start for us.
And that's saying something, considering
John Jerry doesn't move me. He'll get moved. This offensive line is just – they should have a field day against him. They should have a field day.
The one player I think is a decent player is Weston Richburg. I think he's decent as a center. I remember him at Colorado State. But you're right. This is a week where they could definitely get at least six sacks. And with that –
I'm going 7, bro.
So 7. Hey, shoot high. But with that, you look at Eli, and I remember in 2011 when they won the Super Bowl – I was at the NFC Championship against the Giants and 49ers. And he got hit like 19 times, but he still stood in there and delivered the ball. It was a late pass to Mario Manningham for a touchdown. And that put him ahead. And, you know, the things you had to turn over later. But regardless, despite getting hit like that, he stood in there and he kept delivering the ball. I didn't see that last night.
Because early in the season. It's too early in the season to be going out there with them late night heroics. He's not doing all that now. But I'm gonna tell you this: he throws some of the best no look passes I've ever seen in my life. He throws some no look passes that are on the one. I mean, he's falling back, falling down. He's letting it go, and it's getting there, man.
Yeah,
it's getting there. He just doesn't look like to me. He doesn't look like a football player, but that guy, he can play, man.
Yeah, he's a legit quarterback.
Yeah, he can play.
When you have a head coach call him out, and I didn't like that, man. You know, after the game, he called him out. And granted, you know what? It was his job. I agree he does with the coach. I agree, you know, as a veteran quarterback, you do have to know. As a quarterback, period, you have to know to get the playoff. But
you're looking in the end zone. The play clock is right in front of you.
It's right in front of you, yeah.
I didn't see anything wrong with it, man, because.
But do you call your quarterback out like that?
No, you don't. And he shouldn't make those mistakes, though.
Granted, he shouldn't. He shouldn't. I agree.
He's too old for that. I'd have went in a little worse than that. Man, he's too old. He's too damn old for that, man. What is he thinking about, bro? No, I'm just playing.
17-7. They got the ball
on the
third
one.
And goal.
Come on, man. That's the mistake you can't have. Now, especially not Eli. Two Super Bowl champions. He understands how to win this game in these games. What's going on, man?
I don't know. But here it is, the home opener, and you look at this. Some people are looking at this as a possible trap game. I'm going to say this. There's multiple reasons this cannot be a trap game for the Eagles. I understand sometimes, okay, you'll say, all right, well, you know, next week they got this key matchup against so-and-so. Next week they're going to L.A. to play the Chargers. So there's no game to – be looking past this one for number one, and they're not going to do that anyway. But then number two is the home opener. Number three, they're coming off a loss.
It just came off getting their ass kicked, so I don't see it either.
It can't be a trap game.
Come on, man. It's not a trap game because right now they're fighting for the lives. Number one is the division opponent. Number two is the Giants. Number three, they just lost. Come on, man. Are you kidding me?
No trap
And number
game.
Four is a home game. I mean, that's all things telling you, hey, they got to come out and play. They want to prove in front of the home crowd they're legit as they think they are. It's a division opponent. It's only going to put them, you know, two games ahead of everybody else in the division. Right now, they're sitting atop the division, number one. They got the tiebreaker over Washington. They're number one. So why not keep it rolling?
Keep it going.
And plus, it's bad blood with Giants. Like, my rivalry, when I was playing, my rivalry was with Dallas.
Okay.
But you look at a lot of the old timers and stuff, they tend to think that the Redskins and the Giants are more of a rival than anything. But
how
it's funny now, they don't even think that.
How about that?
It's
how
crazy.
Things shift. Well, yeah, and I mean, with the Cowboys being the reigning NFC East champions, I could see that. But I mean, it is what it is. They went 1-1 against the Giants last year. Obviously, they need to do better this year because you have some games, you know, whether it's Oakland at home on Christmas, going to Seattle. Those are tough games. But this game is the one that's most important because it's the next game. So when you look at that, as far as the keys to winning, for me, when I see this team, obviously Odell is still an explosive player, but I don't think that he's going to have the same impact because you look at that high ankle sprain, that changes things for any athlete, but especially a wide receiver who's required to change direction so much. And, you know.
And that's his game, too.
That's his game, putting his foot in the ground and getting upfield. You know, so when I look at that, he's someone that he's going to want to dictate where he's going all the time, but especially more now. If I were a DB, I would be jump-setting him consistently and redirecting him to make him have to go where you want him to go and fight to get where he wants to go.
No question. You have to. You have to redirect him. You got to make sure you dictate which way he's going because is all starting up front. If those guys can generate pressure, he's going to want to get to that spot in the worst way as fast as he can, because he knows that these guys are going to be having a lot of pressure on him. We've been known to get a lot of pressure on Eli Manning, hit him a lot, and he don't like to get hit. So he understands that, all right, his clock has to go faster. That means he's got to get off faster. So when you throw a wrench in that and slow him down any, he's going to be, you know, kind of suspecting him, you know, getting the ball. And one thing, he's like a cancer. One thing starts going on, then everything else starts going on.
It so just
unravels. That's what you want. Yeah.
So that would be different from last year, because if you remember, one of the touchdowns he had, he ran that slant. And this was, I think, really when that blueprint started to develop on how to play against this aggressive unit that gets pressure up front but doesn't always get the sacks. Quick passing game, three-step and throw. And you had guys outside and McKelvin and Carroll who refused to challenge at the line of scrimmage. So your receiver's releasing. He had a quick slant.
Yep.
Yeah, he ran that slant, caught it, took it to the house, bad angle. I don't see that happening this week because of the injury. But also, I don't see that happening as much because you have guys who will actually challenge at the line of scrimmage.
Well, if they run that system. I mean, they haven't. I saw it this last game, but I didn't see it the first game. I thought they played way too far back.
Yeah, I agree.
They're gonna have to get in his face, you know. They're gonna have to.
Yeah, it's mandatory. So
one more topic.
Yeah, no, keep it moving.
Let's talk about Michael Kendricks. Let's talk about the fact that this kid wants to be on the field.
23% of the snaps, still had two tackles for loss and a sack.
He's trying to make it happen. And it's just the nature of how the NFL is. The NFL is one that everybody's going to that 11 personnel.
Mm-hmm.
One running back, one tight end, and three receivers. So it's kind of hurting him because you only have two linebackers on the field, and they love Nigel Bradham. And, of course, Jordan Hicks ain't getting off the field. So where do you put Kendricks? Kendricks is saying, look, you got to put me somewhere.
Get me in there.
You know what I'm saying? Put me in the game, coach. Who do you take out? You take Nigel out? I think he's played, and he deserves that opportunity. I mean, I love Nigel. Nigel's a good player. But at this point, so does Hicks.
So Kendricks. Are you suggesting closing that gap? I think Bradham played at least 80% of the snaps, I think it was.
Yeah.
So you're suggesting closing that gap to more like a 60-40 kind of thing?
Absolutely. You got to give this kid a chance. He's been – more than willing to go out there and play whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's taken some advancements in how he playing the game and how he's understanding the game. It used to be though he didn't know what to do. But now he's playing instinctual because he knows the defense a lot better. I saw him taking an active role and say, all right, hey, that's what happened. This is what happened on this play. And telling guys, look, they ran this crossing route. We gotta put our hands, if we put our hands on this tight end, he ain't gonna be able to get across. That's how we can slow it down. He won't be able to get that.
Mm-hmm.
Now
mm-hmm.
I saw this during the practices they had with the Miami Dolphins. And that's when I really saw development. Like, all right, yeah, he really knows game now.
Yeah.
The game is slowed down for him. He understands where he's supposed to be and where he fits in the defense. He can now go out there and play instinctually. You know what I mean? And I think he put a lot of that other attitude stuff and matured a lot as a person and as a man. And that's why he's playing better also.
That's a major key because it seemed like last year he carried for the whole year playing into the fourth quarter against the Jets in that fourth preseason. He carried that with him the whole year, it seemed like.
Yep.
And even at parts in the beginning of this year. But then it just was like he got that off his chest about, you know, how it only takes one team to love you, and they
try to trade me. Oh, okay, then. Well, let me put some of this work on TV.
Exactly.
And that's got a lot. Let me put this work on there.
He's put in work consistently, so I want to see what happens this game. I mean, are they going to go to as much 11 personnel? I don't know. I mean, without Odell being held, I know they like to get Roger Lewis in there. You got Sterling Shepard and Brandon Marshall. And
plus, they got to put them two tight ends in, so
exactly.
He might get a little time.
So we'll see what happens. And speaking of Brandon Marshall, he had a ball yesterday. It hit him in a bad spot, man, like right between the 1 and the 5. I don't understand how he dropped that ball, man. It just confuses me. And you're supposed to be this really good receiver. And I understand things happen, but my goodness, why? I don't know. I
mean, it was, and I saw the DBs looked like, both DBs were like,
Yeah, they were shot. So, I don't know. This is a team I picked to win a division. I thought they would play much better. Who would have thought Odell would get hurt? Who would have thought not having him in the game would affect that team so much? I don't know. But we'll see what happens with McAdoo also. I think this is a game that the Eagles have to win this game. I don't see how they lose it.
It's a must win. It's a must win. And I do see they're going to – I think they're going to win it. I think they're going to win it convincingly. I think they're going to turn the corner as far as being a dominant team. You know what I mean? In their eyes, they feel as though they're a dominant team. So I think this is where they turn the corner and say, all right, this is a game we're supposed to win, so let's go ahead and win it.
So two things just in wrapping it up. I'm going to shoot. I'll give you my player who I think will have the best game, and then we'll go with score predictions and we'll slide on out of here. Just another invite. Make sure you guys get on Clip It. Download the app, clipit.com. As well, and
we're gonna have a
that.
Little something for you. Send your stuff to us. We'll break it down. We'll let you see what's going on. You know, I'll give you some little insight on what I think it is. And usually, 9 times out of 10, I am right because I know a little bit about just
a smidge
about football. Yeah.
So definitely make sure you continue to do that. You could catch some of the links that we post also during the game. You know, we'll have some different ones. So definitely check that out. But I mean. For me, when I look at this, I think offensively, it's going to be the Zach Ertz show. And I think that play action passing game is going to work for them.
Yeah.
When I watched that game last night, I saw them able, and we'll see if B.J. Goodson plays or not, but their backup linebacker, 46, you could get him out of position. You know, and I know you said you run the play action for max protection, but it's just an added bonus that you could get the linebacker out of position.
Man,
and get your guy.
Yeah, he's playing. You know. He shouldn't be there, but they could definitely take advantage of him.
I think it's another 90-plus yard performance for Zach Ertz. Do you have Ertz or who else would you?
I'm going to throw a wrench in all this. I'm going with your son, Nelson Aguilar. He have a breakout game at home. With his fans checking him out and dominating this game, I think he gets a buck for the first time this week.
That would be really good in front of the home crowd.
He gets a buck. Yep, he gets a buck and tell all the fans, you know, look, I'm here for you guys. You know, saying, give me the rock and I'm gonna show you.
No one talked about that touchdown he had either. That was a really good
great catch.
And to get his feet down.
Carson put some heat on that thing.
Yep.
Get out.
No thinking about it, just caught it and scored. So we'll see. I mean, two games, two touchdowns is definitely something that he can hang his hat on and just continue stacking days. You know, that's what we tell each other, stack the days. So we'll see what happens there. I think that he'll have a good game, so I'm glad you called him out. As far as the score is concerned, I'm going to go with – and I said 24-20 last week. It was 27-20, so I was off. I'm going to go – something along the lines, I'm going to go 24-17 Eagles is my final score.
I'm going 28-14 Eagles.
Two touchdowns. So keeping the trend, the two touchdown loss. So that's the show, folks. Again, Clip It. We appreciate the Clip It apps. Sponsorship of BGN Radio. Definitely make sure you tune in. BGN Daily. You have shows like this every day. I appreciate you coming up to the next level with us. And we'll be back next week to break down the game once again. I'm Teron Davenport, at @TDavenport_NFL.
I'm B. Brooks, 72, CSN. Check us out. Dreams have now been fulfilled. Get out your seats and let's get ill. That's right, y'all. We mostly rough.
By the
way, who do you have? Either one of you or both of you have a memory of like who the worst smell you ever smelled in the locker room?
Worst smell.
Or worst smelling player that you were like, God damn, that was terrible.
The nastiest player.
We had a D tackle. We call him Pep. Had a nerve to be a Kappa. He was 6 feet, 330. And yo, this dude ripped one. It stunk so bad, man. That's probably the worst. He did it in the locker room. It stunk so bad. That's probably the worst I could remember.
Like in practice or like before a game, during a game, halftime?
Something? I don't remember when it was, but I remember we were in the locker room and he did it. And like I literally had to leave the facility because it stunk so bad.
Bruh, we had a guy named Bill. I forget Bill's last name. He was a rookie with me. Mm. And, you know, we were having a bad practice, and dude had to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
So I had to use the bathroom, too. So I had to use the bathroom. So I ran and used the bathroom, and I came back. So the coach, you know, head coach Snyder starts ripping me. You know, he starts cussing me out. What are you doing? Yeah. So coach, I had to use the bathroom. What, you want me to piss on myself? He started yelling again. So like 15 minutes later, just like 30 minutes of practice left, he's like, hey, man, I got to use the bathroom. I said, go use the bathroom then. No, you just got in trouble for it. I said, I didn't get in trouble. I got yelled at. We're both freshmen, too. I got yelled at, but, you know, so what? I had to go piss. I'm not going to piss on myself.
Right, right.
So Bill is sitting there, man, I got to go so bad. So he's sitting there, oh, I got to go so bad, man. I said, go use the bathroom, man, before you fucking blow your intestines. Yeah. Like, no, I got to go, man. I can't go. I said, man, okay, then. So we finished the practice. As soon as we finished the practice, man, he said, on the line, we're running. That was a shitty practice.
Oh, no, he didn't.
So we start running. And when we start running, he shits on himself.
Oh, shoot.
Now, I was always the fastest offensive lineman anyways. Yeah. But I never ran fast. This guy was fast, too. We're running, and this dude tried to beat me in sprint. I'm like, no, not today, bro. I'm not going to be downwind from you ever. So, dog, we're running. Shh. I make all my sprints. Coach's like, damn, he's doing a good job. I'm like, yo, that's because I don't want to smell this shit, man. Let's go. Line it up. Let's turn around. Let's go. We got to go, man. He smelled like death. I'm like, whoa, dude, you got something like, you know, I don't know what's going on. Man, what the fuck is wrong with you, man? I don't know, man. He's steady crying. You know, I'm like, stop crying, man. You cry. You shit, and you crying. Stop crying. Stop crying, Bill. Bill, you're crying.
Double
Bill,
violation.
Stop crying. You make me mad now because you smell like shit and you crying too. Stop, man. Stop. Man, stop, stop. Now, you know, I'm looking at you like you're a kid. Now, you're a baby right now, Bill. You're crying, and you got shit in your pants. You're like a baby right now. So, we're sitting there. So, we call it up, man. This dude still ain't going to go to the bathroom, dog. Wow. We call it up. He said, guys, you guys had a shitty practice today. I lost it. I'm laughing. Coaches, he's so mad at me. He about to go make me run. I said, coach, I'm sorry. I can't help myself. So Bill is sitting. He's standing there, right? When I turn around and look at him, all the players from around him for 3 feet.
not even close to him.
So he's, I said, coach, I'm sorry, but Bill shit on himself.
So what you said?
Stop it! Stop it! Bill's still. You're an asshole, Brooks. You're an asshole, Brooksy. Like, dude.
Wait, he was still sitting in the locker room with.
No, we're outside. On the field.
Yeah, what is Bill doing?
Bill's shitty. He's shitting. He's crying. To me, he's a baby. I looked at him. I see a baby because he's crying like a baby. And he's shitting his pants like a baby.